Thank you, fellas. I hope I didn't confuse you too much about the song there, Brother Bert. I asked him to sing the other one first. Amen. I spent a little time on the road with them here not too long ago, and what a blessing it was for them. And I think they were ready to be home here at Landmark, though. They got some time on the road. Speaking about being home at Landmark, I haven't had an opportunity to have Brother Kevin Mann preach for us in some time. I know he's done Sunday school when he was in for Pastor Carter, and Pastor would reach out, and I didn't always know. And I saw him this morning, and I knew it was a great opportunity. We had opportunity tonight to use him. And so I pray that many of you may not know him. He doesn't probably have time. He wants to preach tonight, but he's got a goodly heritage here as well. Amen. Of Lord saving him and using him through our ministry and then taking him on to do so much more. Do you have some of the Bibles in the back? All right. He has that first mentioned study Bible. He may mention something about his first mentioned study Bible. Let me mention that it'll be a help to you. And if you need a Bible or if you just want a good study Bible, you ought to go back there and look at it at the table. Brother Kevin Mann, I don't want to take any more of your time. You come preach to me.
Thank you, preacher. God bless you, brother. I'm so grateful. Thank you. I appreciate the pastor allowing me to be with you. I was saved 53 years ago last month in the little building way over there. That's where my heart is, right over there in that little bitty building. I know a lot of you were saved here in this building, and this is your heart. My heart's way over there. I never get tired of hearing Brother Carter talk about the lady that was raised from the dead, you might say. I looked in her eyes and she was dead, and basically. But Brother Carter, that's repeated constantly from your ministry. This 18-year-old dopehead had death in his eyes, had trouble and turmoil in his soul, and you prayed over me and I received Christ. And I've been given brand new life, amen. I'll say, bless his holy name. Are you here tonight? Anybody here? Okay, all right. Now this is going to be precarious. I hope we can get by with it. I want us to look tonight in Genesis chapter 22, and I'll read us a couple of verses, and then I'll depart from that, amen. Genesis chapter 22. And, if you're familiar with your Bible, you know this is the seventh and last time that God deals specifically with Abraham. The seventh and last time. And this chapter is about God appearing to Abraham. And he said, now I want you to take your son, that only son Isaac, take him up on a mountain that I'll show you, and I want you to offer him there. And we know that's the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a couple of verses. I'll show you something on the board, and then we'll come back to this, all right? So verse 1 and 2 says, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now, that's the first time the word tempt shows up in your Bible, so mark it somehow so that you know. People say, well, God won't tempt you. Oh, yeah, he will. He just won't tempt you with evil. He'll tempt you in righteousness. He'll tempt you in a sacrifice. He'll tempt you in service, but he'll never tempt you in evil, amen. That's what James said. So it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and of course Abraham said, behold, here I am. And he, God said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. Now let me clarify. Abraham had another son called Ishmael, but God does not tally the children of Israel through anybody but Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Ishmael was out of the picture. And this was his only begotten son through Sarah. And so it is his only son. Now that phrase, thine only son, appears three times in the Bible, and all three of them in this verse, this chapter right here. He said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. That's the first time the word love shows up in your Bible. Doesn't have to do with a man and his wife. Doesn't have to do with a boyfriend, a girlfriend. It has to do with God and a son. First time the word love shows up. Thou lovest. And get thee into the land of Moriah. First time the word Moriah shows up. And offer him there a burnt offering. Now, God is very particular, very specific in his wording. The King James Bible is not just filler material. It's not just haphazard. This is specific. It's sovereign. God has everything in this book that he wants you to know. Amen. And so he doesn't just throw words around in there. So I want you to notice what he said. He said, I want you to get to the land of Moriah. Offer him there. Offer. Now, why did he use offer? Because if he had used the word sacrifice, then there would have been nothing else he could have done but to sacrifice the boy. But when God said, I want you to offer him, then that gave God an out to provide a substitute. Can I get an amen right there? Amen. See, you can't put God in the box. You can't put God in the box. Okay, I'll stop right there. All right, now, we know that there's two numbers primarily associated with the King James Bible. And this is wonderful. I love this. Two numbers primarily associated with the King James Bible, and that's the number 66, because we have 66 books in the Bible, and the number 1611, because that's the year that we got our King James Bible. So those two numbers are primarily associated with King James Bible. And of course, if you do the math, you'll find out that that is 777. 6 plus 1, 7. 6 plus 1, 7. 6 and 1 is 7. God, when he sevens something, he stamps his approval on it. He stamps his authority on it. God does things by sevens. You've got seven holes in your head. You've got seven appendages from the trunk of your body, whether male or female. Your body reproduces its cells every 7 years. Ladies, you're going to have a brand new husband in 7 years. Yeah. And guys, you're going to have a brand new wife. Be the same one, but you'll have a brand new one every 7 years. There's seven notes on that piano. The half notes are not whole notes. There's seven whole notes. Every piece of music ever written was written with seven whole notes. The seven colors, and so the 7 days in a week, God does things by sevens. And when he triple sevens it, that's putting his stamp of approval on it. He authenticates that. Okay, now, we just read Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2. And there just happens to be 66 words in those two verses having to do with God giving Abraham instruction about offering his son. 66 words. Now, I know you're not going to believe this. The Old Testament is divided, the Bible is divided into 39 and 27, right? 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament. In this passage, these two verses, God speaks 39 words, Old Testament, leaving 27 words of narrative. Just an accident. There's no accidents in the King James Bible. This is God's book. You've got the right book if you've got a King James Bible. If you don't have a King James Bible, you have a Catholic counterfeit. Amen, Brother Kevin. King James Bible is superior to any other book on the earth. It's a supernatural book. It's God's book. And God gave us this book. We received this book in bloody hands through prison bars. People died to give you this book. God he did that too. He plants his stamp of approval on the King James Bible using Bible numerics, okay? All right, now, if you're taking notes, I want you to do this. I want you to, draw a line. And guys in school, if you'll take this down and submit it to Brother Morgan, he's going to give you extra credit. Yeah. It's got to be word for word, though, he said. Okay, so draw a line, a timeline, and put Jesus on top and Isaac on the bottom. I'm going to show you a comparison between those two. See, when the Lord Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus with the two disciples, he began in the book of Moses. He began way back in the book of Genesis and taught them about himself. Everything in the Bible is a pattern about what Jesus did, and is repeated over and over and over and over, because we are not very bright. So God has to continually rehearse and reinforce those patterns so that we can get it. So Jesus on top, Isaac on the bottom. All right, now, we're going to look at a first mentioned word tonight, the first mentioned word, the first time the word lamb shows up in the Bible, the little L lamb. Little L lamb, we know, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was the capital L lamb in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament he was typified by the little L lamb. You follow me there? Little L lamb appears 77 times in the Bible. Perfect. Capital L lamb appears 28 times in the Bible, which is 4 times 7. Listen, folks, God does things by sevens. When he wants to set something up and establish it, he does it by sevens. All right, now, so here's the timeline. Now, in the book of Luke, don't turn there. I'm going to go fast. We're not going to take time to look up the verses, but you know the gist of this. As the pastor said so beautifully this morning about the virgin birth, the first thing that we find in the book of Luke is the miraculous conception. So this is the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a miracle. The Holy Ghost of God overshadowed Mary. It was a miracle. The next thing we see in the book of Luke is his circumcision. Now, the Lord Jesus was the first child in the New Testament that was said to be circumcised on the eighth day. Isaac was the first child in the Old Testament that was circumcised on the eighth day. I know there were others, but I'm talking about that was mentioned in the Bible, okay? So here we have the miraculous conception. Jesus and Isaac both were conceived miraculously. Jesus by the Holy Ghost and Isaac by a 99-year-old daddy and a 90-year-old mother. Wow, that's a miracle. So they both had a miraculous conception. And then the next thing we see in the Lord Jesus' life in Luke chapter 2 is his circumcision. Now, the Bible only records the Lord Jesus bleeding 2 times in the Bible in his life, in his entire life, twice. He bled the first time at his circumcision as an eight-day-old baby. And he did that so that he could satisfy the law of God. The children of Israel commanded, on the eighth day you circumcise your boys or they're going to be cut off. So here we have the Lord Jesus Christ only bled twice in his life. The eighth day of his life and the last day of his life. The first time he bled, it was to satisfy the law of God. God said, go do it. The last time he bled was to satisfy the God of the law. And he offered himself a sacrifice for me. So the first time to satisfy the law of God, the last time to satisfy the God of the law. And he was satisfied. He took his offering and he imputed to us righteousness because of what he did. Okay, so we have the miraculous conception of both individuals. We have see the circumcision of both individuals, first mentions in both of those times. And then here in the Lord's life in Luke 2, we see that when he was 40 days old, that Mary took, well, first off, let me say this, back up, I missed this. At his eight-day-old circumcision, that's when the child was named and placed on the record book in Bethlehem. He was named on the eighth day when they circumcised him and placed in the genealogy in Bethlehem. Okay, now, so 40 days later, Mary goes to the temple and she has to produce a sacrifice for her cleansing. She was not perfect. Right. as the Catholics try to make you think. She was a sinner that needed a Savior. Now, if they couldn't afford a lamb, they were to bring two turtle doves. Mary, evidently, and Joseph, they were not wealthy people. So evidently, she brought two turtle doves, but she also brought a lamb with her. The lamb was 40 days old. The first time it had been presented to the temple, his father's house. And so she went in there offering sacrifices, and then, you know, Simeon and Anna and all that, the whole story. So you have his conception, his circumcision. You have Mary offering her offering. And then the next thing we see in the Lord's life is as a 12-year-old boy, a 12-year-old lad, he's in the temple and he's confounding the doctors of the law. He's confounding the Pharisees. He's confounding the scribes, answering and asking them questions. As a lad, he makes his first confession of his words. The first conversation that came out of the Lord's mouth as a 12-year-old lad was, "Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" The first words out of his mouth recorded in the Bible, "My father's business." Now, I know you're not going to believe this, but as a 12-year-old lad, the first words recorded by Isaac in the Bible is "my father." Perfect connection, perfect lineup in their conception, in their circumcision, and in their confession, or the first words that they spoke. And then, of course, here at the cross, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ carried the cross up Mount Moriah, and the wood was placed on him. And he went up there, and he had a crown of thorns on his head, and they nailed him to that cross, and they crucified him. We know that he died, was buried, and 3 days later he'd come up, and I say, bless his holy name, right there. And so Isaac also experiences a very similar thing in type. He carries the wood up Mount Moriah. The father has the knife and the fire. He has the word of God and the judgment of God. That same thing that Jesus Christ faced in the 3 years of darkness upon the cross. In those 3 hours of darkness, he suffered the eternal wrath of God. I don't know how it happened, but it did. And so in type, Isaac did the same thing. Now, we'll get there in a second. So he went to the cross. He had a crown. Remember, he had a crown of thorns. I want you to remember that. And then, of course, he ascended. All right, now let's go to unpack Genesis chapter 22. Give you some things about it. I already told you that verse 1 and 2, there were 66 words in there concerning the son and offering the son, and how that God is particular in the wording of every word in the Bible is particular, is specific. There's nothing there that is by chance or by circumstance. And so I want us to continue reading. I want you to get this idea here. And beginning verse number 3, Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Now, I've always wondered, Lord, why did Abraham cut the word there and travel with it for 3 days? Why didn't he wait till he got to the mountain to cut the wood? But the Bible says that he cut the wood, laid it on the ass, and they went on. And I want you to notice another thing too, that there was Abraham, Isaac, and two servants, like four people, like we have four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all represented right here. And so he cut the wood, or clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went into the place which God told him. Now, Abraham had 3 days to consider this, but in the heart of Abraham, he had already offered that boy. It took him 3 days to get to the mountain, but he offered him as soon as the Lord said, offer him. right before time began, the son stepped forward and he said, Father, I'll go. Amen. And so the father offered the son.
Amen.
Now let's continue reading. It says, on the third day, amen, for 3 days, amen, preacher. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young man, abide ye here with the ass, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. It's the first time the word worship shows up in the Bible. It doesn't have to do with corporate. It has to do with God and his son. You cannot worship God unless you worship through the son.
Amen.
He's got to be involved.
Amen.
Because he's the only begotten son. He's the love of God's heart, as the pastor so said this morning. And so he said, abide ye here, they asked, I and the lad. I want you to notice that word lad. And probably around 10 or maybe 12 years old, about the same age that Jesus was when he was in the temple confounding the scribes and Pharisees. He was just a lad. Could have been anywhere from 9 to 12 years old. I think probably for the purpose of the time, he was probably 12 years old. And so Abraham, we're going to go and worship and come to you again. Verse 6, and Abraham took the word and burnt of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. Laid it upon Isaac, his son. Do you see the correlation? See the association? I mean, step by step by step, the wood was laid on the son, and the son carried it all the way up the mountain, just like Jesus. Down the Via Della Rosa, all the way up to Calvary, carrying that cross, carrying that wood. So it's a great, great top of Christ here. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid upon Isaac's son, took the fire in his hand, that's the judgment of God, and the knife, that's the justice of God, or the perfection and the word of God, the truth of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is truth. Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac, his son, took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Now, verse 7 is very, very crucial, because here we're fixed to find the first words coming out of the mouth of Isaac recorded in the Bible, and it's the first mention of the word little L, lamb. So when we get to it, I want you to mark it. That's the first time it shows up. And that word is coming out of the mouth of a great type of Christ in the Bible. In the same place where the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was to bear the sins of the world. Or verse 7. 7, of course, the number of completion, perfection, and God's oath. Verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham. These are the first words now that's recorded in the Bible that he spoke. He said unto his father and said, my father. First words recorded, just like the first words recorded the Lord Jesus in the temple. Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business. My father's business. That's the first words he spoke. The last words he spoke on the cross, it is finished. I must be about my father's business at the cross. It's finished. The father's business is done. Redemption is paid for. Salvation is set forth. It's finished. My father. And he said, Abraham said, here am I, my son. And he, Isaac said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? First time the word lamb shows up in your Bible, coming out of Isaac's mouth. Now, the word Christ appears 555 times in the Bible. Five is the number of death, always has been, always will be. when the Lord Jesus Christ died, he had five garments. He had five wounds. He was shuffled around the morning that he died five different times. Went to Ananias, went to Caiaphas, went to Pilate, went to Herod, went back to Pilate. Shuffled around five times. So five is the number of death. You say, no, five is the number of grace, only when something's dying. Jesus found no grace on the cross. Jesus found the wrath of God on the cross. He found no grace. We find the grace. We get the grace for his death. Five is the number of death, always has been. First time the word grace shows up in the Bible, it's in the same verse where the fifth mention of Noah shows up. It says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The fifth time Noah shows up is the first time grace shows up. Noah found grace, but what happened to the rest of the world? They died. They died. Five's always death. Genesis 5 is the death chapter in Genesis. The first time the word died shows up in the Bible is in Genesis 5:5. Says that Adam lived 930 years and he died. And every three verses down, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. Five is always the number of death. Right, now, why did I say that? The word Christ, which Isaac is a type of Christ, type of the offered individual, type of the sacrifice, appears 555 times in the Bible. Genesis 22:7, where the first mention of little L lamb shows up, is the 555th verse of the Bible. Just an accident. Ain't no accident in this book. This is God's book. You got the King James Bible, you got the right book. Don't let anybody take this book from you. Don't let any professor or scholar, so-called, tell you there's something wrong with this book. There's nothing wrong with this book. This is God's book. God is sovereign. God gave us a sovereign book. There's not another Bible like this, another book like this in the world. It's God's book. If you got a King James Bible, you've got the right book. You've got the right book. You can bet your soul on it. And listen, folks, if God could not keep his word pure and preserved and inspired, then God can't keep your soul. Just throw this in the trash and go fishing. Because his character's on the line. He said, I will give you a word. I will perfect that word. I will preserve that word. I will keep that word so that any plowboy can read that word. And if he did not do that, then he's a liar and not worthy of worship. Amen, Brother Kevin. Comes down to that. All right, now, I want you to look at just the words that Isaac says here. First words, of course, he says, my father. And then drop down and it says, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? The 13th word in his quote is the first time the word lamb shows up. Now 13, of course, is the number for rebellion, Genesis 13:13. Genesis 13, you have your first family split. And you have Sodom and Gomorrah showing up and all the 13s in there, and I can't go through that. But 13 is the number of rebellion, but it's also the number of something that is accursed. Now, so here, the first time the word lamb shows up, he's got to die. When they get a lamb, it's got to die. So he's cursed already. He is accursed. And so it just happens to be the 13th word in the quote coming out of Isaac's mouth. Just another one of those fine coincidences. And then look what he says in verse number 8. And Abraham said, you've preached this 100 times. My son, God will provide himself a lamb. God will provide himself a lamb. Abraham had already offered the boy in his mind and already received him back from the dead. So God will provide himself a lamb. Now, if I don't get to it, I want to go ahead and mention it right now. Over in verse number 14, the first time the word Jehovah Jireh shows up is the only time it shows up. It's in verse 14. Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said, to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. What shall be seen? God giving himself a lamb. God giving himself a sacrifice. That's what will be seen in Mount Moriah. Amen. That's what Jehovah Jireh means. Jehovah will give himself. And so let's go back to verse number 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And of course, the boy is carrying the wood all this time. The daddy's carrying the fire and the knife. And verse number 9 says, they came to a place which God told him of, and Abraham built an altar there. That's the fifth altar built in the Bible. 5 is the number of death. Specifically a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to be his altar right there. For all intents and purposes. It's the fifth time, fifth altar that was built, but it's the seventh time that the word altar shows up in the Bible. So 5, the number of death, 7, the number of completion. God is saying by this number combination that this is the perfect offering of God, the perfect altar for God. And it has to do with his son, God offering himself. Brother, you can't beat this book. You can't get around this book. This book is supernatural. This book is infinite like God. You've got the right book. You've got the right book. So that's the fifth time fifth altar built. That's the seventh time the word altar shows up. Now look at verse number 10. Well, number 9. They came to the place which God told him of, and Abram built an altar there, laid the wood in order. He laid it in order. God has an order. He laid that wood in order. Now look at this. This is remarkable. And bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, folks, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, he offered no resistance to the Father. He said, not my will, thine be done. Not my will, thine be done. He offered no resistance to the Father. Isaac, a 12-year-old lad, could have outrun his daddy. Daddy was 113 years old. He could have pushed his daddy down and ran down the mountain screaming, help! He did not resist because he's a type of Jesus Christ. Abraham took him and bound him and laid him up there on the altar to offer him. And he reached and grabbed the knife, and as he was about to plunge it, God cried out, Abraham, Abraham! Just in the nick of time. Aren't you glad he found you in the nick of time? Amen. Amen. Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, that's Jesus Christ, before he was incarnate. Amen. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. I mean, he was kind of urgent, man, because Abraham was fixed to plunge it, but it was a one and done. He was going to go and then set him on fire. God called out, Abraham, Abraham. Now, that double name, there are 7 individuals in the Bible that their names are repeated twice. You have this one here is the first one, Abraham, Abraham, which is the place of sacrifice. And then you have the next one, Jacob, Jacob, which was the place of substance. Then you have God call out to Moses, Moses, which was the place of surrender. And then he called out Samuel, Samuel, which was the place of service. Then he called out Martha, Martha, which was the place of sitting. And then he said, Simon, Simon, the place of sifting. Then he called out Saul, Saul, which was the place of salvation. I'm glad he called me twice. I'm glad he's the God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and a thousand chances. Even today, chance after chance and mercy after mercy and grace after grace, grace upon grace, all day. And everyone wake up in the morning, it's got brand new mercy there. Got all the mercy I'll need. I'll say bless his holy name right there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So he said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, here am I. Verse 12, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. He had his head in this briar bush. He had his head in a briar bush. But it was a ram. A ram is a full-grown lamb. God will provide himself a lamb. It was a ram caught in the thicket by a crown of thorns. Where are you going to get a book like this? Folks, where are you going to find a book like this? And this is repeated over and over and over all through the scripture. The men on the road to Emmaus, did not our heart burn within us when he spoke to us by the way, revealing himself? Now look at verse 13. Abraham lifted up his eyes and look and beheld behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. You know that ram that was caught in that thicket was in the perfect will of God. Do you know he wasn't out of the will of God at all? He was caught by his head in the thicket. He couldn't do a thing but just sat there and eventually die. He was in the perfect will of God. Because he was become the offering that Abraham was going to offer in place and a substitute. He looked up and he saw the substitute. I looked up as an 18-year-old dopehead and saw the substitute. And I ran to that tower of refuge. And he says here, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. By his horns, I'm sorry. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for burnt offering in its stead as a substitute for his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it said today, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. We will see God offering himself a lamb. In the mount it shall be seen. Now, let's move on down a little bit. Verse number 15. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. Now I know this is just an accident, so don't get all crazy, okay? I mean, it's just a book. This is just a man's compilation, and man added the chapter and verse divisions, and man added the commas and the semicolons. Yes, they did. And God was all over it when they did. The first time the word sworn shows up right there in that verse. Sworn. When God, and that, by the way, that phrase appears seven times in the Bible. When God does something, he does it by seven. But there's something peculiar about that word sworn, the first time it's used, coming out of the mouth of the angel of the Lord God in the flesh here. It is the 13,627th word of the Bible. 13,627. You say, Brother Kevin, what's that? So, 13,620 just happens, 27 just happens to be the 1611th prime number. A prime number can only be divided by itself in one. God is one. He's not one plus one plus one. That's three. He's one times one times one is one. And he swore by himself. And he placed it in the position where it's the 1611th prime number. Where are you going to get a book like that? God gave you this book. This is God's book. You've got a sovereign God that gave you a sovereign book. You've got the right book. Don't let anybody take it from you. So he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, the stars of heaven. So he's rehearsing the Abrahamic blessing that he had already given him before. That in the blessing I will bless thee, multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, sand which the seashore, the seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. Folks, listen. This is not just a book. This is not just a compilation of man's wanderings and meanderings and thoughts and philosophy. No. This is God's book. This is God's book. You've got in your lap God's word. God's words. Now, when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, I could be wrong. I've been wrong a bunch of times. When we get to the judgment seat of Christ, I believe that God's going to ask us one question. It's not what you did with my son, because you wouldn't be there if you hadn't chosen the son and the son chosen you. I believe he's going to ask one question. What did you do with my book? What did you do with my word? Did you read it? Did you study it? Did you pray over it? Did you win others to me by it? What did you do with it? Did you lay it on your coffee table while you watched Vanna White flip numbers, flip letters, and just let it lay there and watch Vanna White with you? Or did you study to show yourself approved unto God? Workmen need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Folks, you've got the right book. You've got the right book. Don't let anybody take this book from you. This is God's book. This book will face us at the judgment seat of Christ. It's forever settled in heaven. I believe there's a copy of it right now in God's bookcase. Because it's forever settled in heaven. And I could go on, but the comparison here. The Lord Jesus carries his cross. He does not resist. He's crucified with a crown of thorns. He's buried. 3 days later, he comes up, typified by Isaac, who carried the cross, or carried the wood, up the same mountain that the Lord Jesus went up, the very same place, and was offered there as an offering till his substitute was discovered. There's a substitute. You don't have to pay for your sins. Your sins have been paid for. You try to pay for them, you'll burn in hell forever and never get one sin paid for. You sin against the holy, thrice holy God. And when you're in hell burning, you'll be enjoying the presence of God without a filter. You'll get the consuming fire of God. God is a consuming fire, 13 letters. And those people in hell right now are enjoying the presence of God without any filter. If you're in Christ, you've got a filter. It's called the blood of Jesus Christ. So when God looks at me, he doesn't see Kevin. Hallelujah. He sees Jesus Christ. I say, bless his name. I say, thank you, Lord, for imputed righteousness. We ought to be in hell, and you know it. Jehovah Jireh, in the mount it shall be seen, and it was. Do you know him tonight? Do you know him? Now, I'm going to show you one more thing, and then I'll hush, I promise. Look at verse number, let's see here. Verse number, okay, verse number 19. I want you to look at that. Now, this is kind of, now this might have stretch marks on it a little bit, okay? I might be stretching this, but I don't think so. I mean, you know, this might have more stretch marks than a pregnant woman, but I don't know, but maybe not. Verse 19, it says, so Abraham returned unto his young men. Abraham returned. Where was Isaac? In picture and in type, he's still on the mount. He ascended up to the Father's house. He's out of sight. We don't see Isaac again until two chapters later, 2,000 years, in chapter 24. Show you that. Look at chapter 24, the next time Isaac shows up in the Bible. So he kind of like disappears here, and he stays gone for two chapters. During this time, Eliezer, chapter 24, goes to get him a bride. The next time we see Isaac show up is in 24 and verse number, start in verse number 61. Now, you know the context, I hope. This is a picture of Eliezer, top of the Holy Ghost, going for a bride for the son. 61, Rebekah arose and her damsels. They rode upon the camels and followed the man. Eliezer, top of the Holy Ghost. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now look at this. This is the next time that Isaac shows up in the Bible. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahai-roi. For he dwelt in the south country. He's down there. He's down there in the south. He's hovering just right above the atmosphere. He's hovering right above the atmosphere. I said the sun is high, right above the atmosphere. And Isaac came from the way. In verse 63, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field. In the field. A field is the top of the world. Isaac came out to meditate in the field right above the atmosphere. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening tide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were a-coming. And the camels were bringing his bride. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off her camel. For she had said unto the servant, what is this man that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant said, it's my master. One day, Jesus Christ is going to leave the Father's house and is going to come down into our atmosphere, and we're going to be joined unto him. He's coming out to meet us. He disappeared here. 2,000 years, two chapters later, he appears again to meet his bride. You can't make this stuff up. Now look at verse number 65. No, 66. Like 66 books. Like verse 66. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. Here's all things he had done. This is it. 66. Told him all that he did. Now, we're in chapter 24, right? Chapter 24, which is 4 times 6. So you have a 6 and a 6 and a 6 and a 6, 4 sixes. And verse 66, you've got 3 times the Word of God. 3 times the Word of God, and it says this, and the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. 67, and Isaac brought her unto his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah. She became his wife. He loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. That's me and you. He's going to come out to meet us. And we're going to go up to meet him. And he's going to take us to the Father's house, and we're going to have a marriage supper of the Lamb. In the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis. And that's repeated over and over and over and over through the Scripture. Folks, you've got the right book. You've got the right one. Let's stand, please, and bow our heads. We'll give you an opportunity to come down here and do business with God. Maybe you need to renew your devotion, your Bible study, your Bible reading, your commitment to the things of God. What did you do with my word? That's going to be the question. How are you going to answer him? If the rapture took place right now and we were called up and you stood at the judgment seat of Christ and he asked you that question, what did you do with my book? What are you going to say? Oh, well, Lord, there were other things way more important. We had ball games and we had TV to watch and movies to watch. And we had to go fishing, and we had other more important things to do than to study the Word of God. Folks, we're going to be in big trouble. We're going to be in big trouble. And Brother Bert's going to sing for us, so if you need to do business with God, you come.